Welcome, friends, to The Generation. This is broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Coming back to the pro-life issue, you know, it's back in 1983 when I was introduced to this incredibly important concern that we all need to be addressing at some level. And I didn't know about what was going on in America. And when I was, 19 years of age, showing up at the Coalition of American Pro-Life University Students meeting in San Luis Obispo, California, I was attending California Polytechnic State University, and a friend of mine by the name of Brent introduced me to the challenge of abortion, and I didn't realize they were killing kids in America by the millions. And so I woke up to this reality, and I think it's important for young people to wake up to the life and death realities. This is not a game. We're not playing a game. So much of youth lacks the sobriety, and we're not waking up to the real battles against those principalities and powers that are bringing about so much devastation across this country. So it's important for us to be engaged in the battle, and our young people need to know about it and be woken up to it. And of course, my life was never the same after that. I did get involved in politics somewhat, ran for governor of Colorado in 1994 and a few other things. But even to this day, my daughter is down at the 40 Days for Life in Colorado Springs this morning as we do this interview. And we continue with a generational vision for passing on a stance for righteousness in an age in which so many millions upon millions of children are victimized by this blight of abortion. Well, that's the subject on this edition of the program, and we're pulling in Mark Harrington again. He's been a friend of this program in the past, and he's coming back to us from Ohio. He's president of Created Equal, an organization that is dedicated to passing on the pro-life vision to the next generation. So Mark now joins me on The Generations broadcast. Mark, it's good to have you back with us.
Great to be here.
Yeah, Mark, I open the program by just encouraging the young people to take on this vision. That's been your commitment as well. You wanted to pass this vision on to the next generation, and they're receiving it, aren't they?
That's exactly right. That's why I formed Created Equal in 2011, because I didn't believe there was enough being done to train the next generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win. And I say win because winning is how the killing stops.
Mm-hmm.
We're now 46 years into this.
Yeah.
None of us are getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't replace ourselves with the next generation, the hopes of ending abortion will die with us. Mm-hmm. So I believe that's the most important thing we need to be doing, and we're having success doing it.
Yeah, and I think we are. I see that things are changing across the nation. Are you getting that the image that Planned Parenthood and other child-killing organizations were trying to present for abortion, that image is tarnished more and more, and people are not so keen on the bloodshed as they used to be?
No question about it. You know, in 2011, we saw the videos come out from David DeLeiden and the Center for Medical Progress showing Planned Parenthood selling baby parts.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood took a big PR hit. And since then, we've been chipping away at their funding. And my hope is eventually that the federal government will get its act together, the Republicans, specifically in the Senate, and we'll eventually defund Planned Parenthood. I think that'll be a crippling blow to them.
Mm.
You know, public relations-wise, they're losing. Nancy Keenan, who was the NARAL director many years ago, when she got off one of the metros in Washington, D.C. during the March for Life, she was just shocked at how many young people go to the march each year.
Yeah.
She called it the intensity gap, the intensity gap. And it's true that the intensity is on our side with the young people. We got a long way to go, but we're at least winning that battle right now.
You know, when I was part of the Coalition of American Pro-Life University Students in 1984, There were probably four members to the club on the campus. You know, this is not a, this is not yeah. an overwhelming, right. you know, stance for life in 1983. It's bigger than that today, isn't it?
Yeah, well, no question about it. Our organization, as well as Students for Life of America, have a presence on, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of campuses across America. Just today, we're out at the Ohio State University, so we make the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do, go to college and high school campuses around the nation, teaching people about abortion, using abortion victim photography, which I think is a key ingredient
yeah.
to teaching people what abortion is and does. They've got to see it to believe it.
We did the same thing and raised a furor from the student media and other sources. They weren't the administration was not keen on us plastering the university with signs of these aborted babies, the victims. We felt that if you can produce the pictures of the Holocaust, of what the Hitler regime did, you know, in the 1930s and 40s, if that's all right to present the horrors of the Jewish Holocaust, why can't we present the truth concerning what's going on with abortion in America? Is that your reasoning on this? Why do you do this?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, we know social reformers historically have always used victim photography to make their point.
Mm-hmm.
If you just look at the civil rights movement, which is the closest thing to the pro-life movement, Martin Luther King Jr. said himself, an injustice has to be seen to be understood. So we know historically we're on the right side. But just beyond that, to me, since the victims cannot represent themselves, we have to do it. And the only representation they have left may be a photograph of them. And so we believe they speak through the pictures directly to those who pass by and they take a look at them. So
mm-hmm.
we believe it's foundational to use them.
Now, you do the Jumbotron, you do the Operation Overpass, the campus outreaches, and all of this presents yeah. the pictures, the truth of abortion.
Right.
Is that right?
Exactly right. We've upped our game in the last 4 or 5 years, moving from not just using victim photography on handheld signs or billboards or trucks, billboards, to using video. You know, we live in a day and age where Americans don't learn by the written word as they used to. They learn visually.
Mm.
And you've got to reach them visually, and you got to reach them sometimes at a glance. And video is just so powerful, especially now. Video of abortion really has increased our effectiveness on college campuses. And the technology has gotten to the point that the clarity and the high resolution of these videos on these screens have gotten so good. And the videos themselves, the Jumbotrons are, you know, at least affordable to an organization like ourselves, where maybe 5 or 10 years ago that would have been out of reach.
Hmm. So to tell us how you get that around, you drive it around. You probably have to use a generator mm-hmm. to keep it going, is my guess.
That's right. It's a trailer pulled behind a van or a pickup truck, and we'll park it virtually on the college campus, right in the middle of the campus.
Yep.
And that's where the discussions begin.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have college administrative staff that try to shut you down?
Not directly.
Mm-hmm.
We go to public universities, so their hands are tied
mm-hmm.
mostly, because as long as they receive state tax dollars, they're required to make the campus accessible. However, universities do other things. They put these kinds of rules, the kind of ticky-tack rules that make it more and more difficult to actually get on the campus. They may require security fees or a permit, or they'll say, well, you can't be here, but you can be over there, and that may not be as advantageous. So they don't keep us out, but they sometimes make our life kind of difficult to get on the campus. But we generally succeed in doing so, and if necessary, we have good lawyers behind us who are willing to go to court and sue them if necessary. We've had to do that in several occasions.
Mark Harrington is president of Created Equal, and their strategy is information and to get it out, especially to the college campuses and to the public. Mark, talk to us about strategy. There's so many strategies in pro-life. You've got the pregnancy mm-hmm. centers. You have the legal end sure. of it. You've got the information end of it. Where do you think we're making the best progress, and is there a better strategy?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, there's really three prongs to this. You got the political, you have the educational, which is mainly where we spend the majority of our time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I would call the service end of it, which is the pregnancy resource centers, which are important, of course. You're not going to win a war just taking care of the victims, but it's essential, obviously, that they seek and find healing so those who have had abortions can go out and speak against it. That's important, of course, and we want to save lives, as many babies as we can. But you don't win a war that way. You win a war by having frontline, boots-on-the-ground activists, and that's what we do. So we're making progress there. We believe that politics is downstream from culture.
Yeah.
You've got to change culture in order to change public policy.
Oh, yeah.
And we're seeing that happen right now, just yesterday. The Ohio House and Senate passed the heartbeat bill, which is you know, the strongest measure against abortion that's been put into law since I've been around, since I've been doing this. So it's a really historic moment for us here in Ohio, and I think across America. We're starting to see these bills pass because people are seeing an opening, an opportunity here with President Trump being pro-life, with the Supreme Court possibly the complexion or composition changing there. We have a window here that we can seize politically and make some serious gains on abortion.
You know, I got your email alert on the Ohio story, and I think you mentioned a representative actually targeted African-American babies for extermination. Mm-hmm. That level of racism, very intense. Talk to us a little bit about what happened there.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this. This is bizarre. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen almost everything.
Yeah.
You know, over the years we've done this, but I've never seen anything like this.
Mm.
We know that Planned Parenthood is racist, right?
Oh, yeah.
We know that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a racist. We get all that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people will say, well, you know, that was a long time ago, and Planned Parenthood's not there like that anymore. Well, this is verification that nothing has changed. This representative introduced an amendment to the Ohio Heartbeat Bill that would exclude African-American women from the bill. In other words, it would make abortion legal only for African-American women, i.e. targeting African-American babies by abortion.
Right.
So this is genocide. I mean, this is
right.
singling out a race, an individual race for extermination by abortion.
So her point was, this Representative Boyd's point was that if an African-American baby has a heartbeat, and if the baby is going to feel pain and all the rest, you can kill that baby. But as far as the other
right.
babies are concerned, they will be protected. So that's what she was attempting. I'm guessing she didn't make it.
She didn't make it that explicit, but that's exactly what she said. She went on this story about slavery and how way back when we were, slavery was happening, that slaveholders would force slaves to conceive in order to have more slaves and this kind of thing. And she just went on and on about the institution of slavery and how we're not over it yet. And how there's lots of slavery. I mean, really, still in America, we have a lot more work to do. And because of that, women, African-American women, should not be forced to bring their children into the world. That was her argument, believe it or not.
Oh, boy. Did the amendment get killed?
Yeah, right away.
Yeah.
Right away by the chairman.
Yeah.
He said, we don't discriminate here.
Yeah. You don't.
We don't discriminate based on race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the babies are going to be protected.
That's right. Let's get back to the information campaign that's going on across the nation. The pro-life movie Unplanned now at about $14 million in box office receipts. That beat out Gosnell, which topped out at $3.7 million. Bella, released in 2006, pulled in $8 million. And October Baby, I think this was 2011, took in $5 million. So the pro-life movie Unplanned has reached a pro-life movie release record at something like $13 to $14 million in box office receipts. That's all good news, isn't it? You take that as a good move for the pro-life campaign.
Oh, no question about it. I think it's twofold, the reason why it's been successful. Number one, I think Abby Johnson's story is very compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Her character in the movie, she does a fabulous job as far as that goes. And I think the production of the movie is a little bit better than what we generally see in this kind of a genre that is the Christian cinema genre.
Mm-hmm.
So I think professionally, just artistically, the acting is better, the story's better. But I think most of all, it doesn't sugarcoat abortion.
Oh, yeah.
It really is the first movie. Even God Snell, it was almost a little bit awkward that they didn't show the victims in the movie. But in Unplanned, I mean, the whole crux of the movie is based on Abby Johnson's reaction to actually witnessing abortion in progress. That's what changes her mind, and that's what turns her against Planned Parenthood, and now she's leading a pro-life ministry that's been very, very effective. So I think the story is very compelling, but most of all, I think it just tells the truth about abortion like no other pro-life movie has ever done.
Hmm. Mark, do you see young people like Abby Johnson on these campuses changing their minds towards the issue, perhaps, you know, I mean, switching 180 or just coming on fire and saying, hey, we've got to defend the lives of these innocents?
We do, in fact. We just last year started to document the numbers of people's minds that have been changed on college campuses. Up until that point, we really just didn't do it. We just knew it was going on. We actually document it now. Just in 1 week in Florida, while we did our justice ride, really, if you boil it down, it was only 25 hours of campus outreach. We had 209 confirmed students change their mind from pro-abortion to pro-life.
Incredible. Wow.
Just in 5 days, which is really only about 25 hours of actual outreach.
Mm.
And so my point to people is, boy, if we could just do this all over the country, just think of the sea change that could happen. Of course, it's always an issue of resources and time and such, but we're on to something here, and students are changing their minds all across the country by the use of abortion victim photography coupled with a winsome and logical argument against it.
Mark, we've got tens of thousands of families and young people that tune into this program from Christian homes and Christian home schools around the country and around the world. Talk to them. Talk to these young folks. Talk to these families about how they should get involved. I know for me it was life-changing to get out of a sheltered Christian home to some extent and then get out onto the front lines. How can they sign up and how can they get involved? Kind of motivate some of our young people tuned in right now.
Well, I first speak to the parents of young people. If you have a young person, Christian young person, and you want their life to count for something, send them on a justice ride. I can tell you this, their life will never be the same. We have students who come with us for a week. We put them on a bus, a charter bus, and we take them on the road. And we go city to city, campus to campus, clinic to clinic, abortion clinic to abortion clinic. And we train them on the ground and in the classroom for an entire week. We immerse them in pro-life apologetics and activism. And when they're done with that, they come out like something new. I mean, their lives have been changed, and they're committed, hopefully, many of them anyway, to committing their lives to this cause. So that would be my first exhortation, and would be the parents to consider sending their young person, their son or daughter, on a justice ride. And they could go to justiceride.org to check it out, or createdequal.org to find out more about that.
All right. Well, friends, that's the challenge. What a tremendous opportunity for anybody listening right now. It's Mark Harrington, president of Created Equal, on this edition of the program. And to sign up or to get more information for the Justice Ride, that's justiceride.org or createdequal.org. Mark, let me just say this. We're in this for the long haul. This isn't something you jump into and jump out of. As long as William Wilberforce was alive and breathing, he continued his commitment to ending the slave trade. And we need to commit to the same thing ourselves, except our issue is the slaughter of innocent children, including African-American babies, who, by the way, are slaughtered at a much higher rate, a much higher percentage than others in this country. So we're still engaged in this battle, and we need to be passing this on. So you're not giving up on this, are you?
No. In fact, yesterday was a very important day for us. We spent 9 years working the legislature on this heartbeat bill. And, you know, people came and went. There were high points. There were low points. But there was a core group of us that never strayed, never went to the right or the left. We kept our head down, and we kept fighting that legislature until, you know, it happened yesterday, and it was quite a moment. I mean, you don't get a whole lot of these in this work, a lot of these big victories, but it was just a kind of a picture of what it takes. It takes commitment, and it takes never giving up. And so I exhort your listeners, don't give up. Even if things look dark at the moment, keep fighting, because there will come a time when the light will be shining and there'll be in a moment where you can look back and say, hey, we had an impact by God's grace.
Amen. Praise God. You've got a governor now who's willing to sign that heartbeat bill. And we're thankful that y'all stayed in the fight for as long as you did. Friends, it's Mark Harrington, president of Created Equal. For more information, createdequal.org. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you joining us today.
God bless you.
Well, friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. To interact with the program, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.